The book of Acts chapter 1, if you look there with me, Acts chapter 1 and verse 15 is where we'll start reading today. Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. Now we know that this is, in this first chapter, it's the account of the disciples receiving the command of Jesus to go to Jerusalem and wait until they are endued with power from on high. But there were days that passed, and they were in that upper room. And this gives insight into at least one of the things. We know that they were there, and they were continuing in prayer and supplication during those days. But beginning with verse number 15, it says, "In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," the number of names together were about 120. "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." Now, he's talking about a verse in Psalms that is a verse that describes the fact that there was going to be one that was going to betray the Lord, even though he was numbered with the disciples, that he would betray the Lord. And so that's the verse. I think it's Psalm 41. But then he said, "He was numbered with us and had obtained part of the ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. It was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Aceldama, that is to say, the field of blood." I know that this is all a familiar account to us as to what happened to Judas. He betrayed the Lord with a kiss. He received 30 pieces of silver. And then when he realized what he had done, Judas was a man who had great privilege. He not only walked with the Lord, was very close to the Lord, but he was probably one of the most trusted, if not the most trusted, of the disciples. Because he was their financial accountant. He was their man that held the bag of finances for the group. And so he was trusted and depended upon. But yet he betrayed the Lord. Isn't it interesting how that someone can be with Jesus, they can have all the experiences, hear his teachings, and experience all that the disciples did walking with Jesus, but yet somehow greed had the power to get a hold of him and draw him away from the Lord and cause him to do a terrible thing in betraying the Lord. Finally, when he realized, "Oh no, look what I have done. How horrible of a deed I've committed." The Bible says that he took that money and threw it back to the high priest and the Sanhedrin, and just threw it back to them, gave it back to them. And then the Bible says he went out and hung himself. What a tragic, tragic end to a man who had been close companion to the Son of God. But this also reveals that he must have had a plan of what he was going to do with the money. He was going to buy this field. It says that he purchased a field, but it must have been an arrangement, an agreement that he had made to purchase the field. And so it was purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, with the 30 pieces of silver. We know that the transaction was never completed because he went and threw the money back at him and gave the money away. But at least it must have been some kind of a contract or some arrangement that was made. And this was what he was going to do, is purchase this place, this piece of property. And it's on that very same property that he hangs himself and dies there. And he falls headlong and burst asunder, and all those boughs. This is a horrible, horrible thing that happened to this betrayer of the Lord. But then, now Peter is saying, "Well, we're going to need to do what the Scripture says, and we need to replace this man. We need to replace him. So where do we find the man that we're going to replace him with?" Let's read verse 20. Keep reading. "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric, his office as an apostle, let another take it." Notice verse 22. "Beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." One of the qualifications for an apostolic ministry was they had to be witnesses to the resurrection. And so they get into this process of choosing the man that's going to fill Judas's place. They appointed two. So out of all that were there, there were two of them that it came down to just the two, Justus and Matthias. You can read that in verse 23. These two that were appointed, Justus and Matthias. Verse 24 says, "And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whither of these two should thou hast chosen." That was what was important to them that day. Not that we choose, but that you choose, Lord, between these two men. And then it says in verse 25, "that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 of the apostles. So Matthias is the one that's chosen that day. Casting lots, I'm not sure how it took place. I don't know if they drew straws or they flipped coins or what they did. But I know they prayed first. And it may have been a little bit more like just a vote or an election that they had. But however, they had prayed. And the one that it fell on, it says, was Matthias. Now you're wondering, where are you going with all this? This morning I'm talking about how that God rewards faithfulness. God rewards faithfulness. All through God's word, you'll see that faithfulness was really foundational to everything. It's foundational today in all of society. It's why we're in such a mess today in almost every area, almost every sphere of life in our country and around the world. Whenever God is removed, and whenever faithfulness is removed, then things fall apart. In every situation. It's true in marriage. It's true in the family. It's true in business. It's true in education. In just everything. If there is not the example of faithfulness, if those involved, the responsible parties, are not responsible or not faithful to do whatever they have been called upon to do, when faithfulness is removed, then you have calamity and confusion. That's pretty much what we have today. Now, faithful or faithfulness, those words are found about 97 times in the Bible. And I know that not because I counted them all, but because my Bible program counts them for me. Somewhere around 97 times that faithful or faithfulness is in the Scripture. Most of the places where faithful or faithfulness is used, it's referring to God himself, that God is faithful. And we know that that's really who he is. God is faithful. And you can go through the Scripture and see this is just an attribute of God. It's who he is. It describes his nature and his character. God is faithful. The Word of God refers to him as the faithful witness, as the faithful high priest, as the faithful creator, as the one that is faithful and true. And I can go on and on in the biblical descriptions of who God is. Isn't it wonderful that we serve a God that is faithful? Praise God. He is faithful. And it describes his character, describes his nature, that God is faithful. Other places, God, number one, takes the word faithful or faithfulness is usually, most of the times, the majority of the time in Scripture, it's describing God. Secondly, is the Word of God, that the Word of the Lord is true and it's faithful. And it is the Word of God is a faithful witness. The Word of God are faithful sayings, and on, that God's Word is described as true and faithful. Amen. And then, thirdly, men of God are called faithful. Amen. David was, Moses was, Abraham was, Zacharias was, Uriah was, Onesimus was, Epaphras was, and on. There's two or three others that they were called faithful men. They were described as faithful people. And as I said, this is all, faithfulness is foundational to everything in our society. And when it's removed from the family, then the family falls apart. When it's removed from a marriage, then the marriage falls apart. Business that is not faithful in conducting their business in an appropriate way, then it can't really succeed. Even in just your relationships with people, faithfulness, being true and honest and trustworthy, all of these things which describe what it is to be faithful is so important. And so I know you're probably thinking, well, what's that got to do with Acts chapter 1? What's that got to do with Matthias? Well, it's important how we are viewed. And I'll get to that here in just a minute. It's important how we're viewed. Let a man, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, let a man so account of us. Let people who are observing us, let their opinion, their testimony be that person is a faithful person. Let a man so account of us. We're being observed. We're being watched. And people are looking. I understand that sometimes people are looking with a critical eye and they're looking for a failure or a mistake. And if they look at me very long, they're going to find some failure. And quite frankly, if they look at you very long, they're going to find you've messed up a time or two or three or four or more in your life. We're not perfect, but we are always being observed, always being watched. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. When they see us, what do they see? Do they see us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God? When they see you, is that what they see? Somebody that's faithful to God and to service to the kingdom of God, service and ministry to the things of God. Is that what they observe? Hopefully it is. Amen. Hopefully they see you and they see me and they say, that's a good man. That's a good woman. That's a man of God, a person who is following the Lord. And that's their general observation about you, is that you are serving the Lord. It's really interesting in 1 Corinthians 4 and 1 that they should observe us as a minister of Christ. The word there, minister, comes from a Greek word that I can't pronounce, hyperos. Hapurafus, something like that. Anyway, the Greek word means under rower. Under rower. And really what it was describing was those who were in the galley of a ship who weren't seen, but the slaves that were down in the bottom of the ship, they were rowing. You've probably seen pictures of this or videos of this. People that are down in the bottom of the ship, and those slaves are working and sweating and rowing, and they're behind the scenes. You wouldn't notice this because the captain is up directing the ship and conducting the business of where the ship is going and what's going to be happening. But underneath are these under rowers who are supplying the power and the ability for that boat to go. That's what we're called to be in service to the kingdom of God. Amen. We're serving in some times, you know, we're not, it's not noticed. It's not, you know, public what you do and how you work for God and the things you do for God. We're to be observed as people that are servants of the Most High God. Amen. Amen. We are serving the Lord. That's what the ministry is all about. I try to be very careful to never say, that's my church, or those are my people, or that's my ministry. I try to be really careful about that, because the fact of the matter is it's not mine. Amen. This is the work of the kingdom of God, and we are the body of Christ, and it's our church, and it's our ministry, and we work together as the body of Christ. And so we need to keep in perspective all the time. When the world sees us, do they see us as people that are serving for the kingdom of God? And we don't care that we would have, you know, acclaim or recognition. We do it as service to the kingdom of God. Amen. That's the faithful person who does what he's called to do. And then on down in verse 9 of that same chapter, I'm still going to get back to Acts in just a minute. And verse 9, this is still 1 Corinthians 4 and 9. It says, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, unto men. We're being observed and watched all the time. And that was referred, the word spectacle there is from a word that described a theater. And it was, the Apostle Paul was describing what happened in Rome and how that different ones would be brought out to and there would be, the Romans were all involved in this public entertainment. And a lot of it had to do with prisoners being brought out and fighting with animals. And they became so bloodthirsty to see them torn apart and to see them fight, sometimes against each other or against certain soldiers or against animals. And it was just, the Apostle Paul said, you're always being watched. You're always on the stage. And you're a spectacle. You're being watched. You're being observed. Make sure that your life is a life of service to the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. In verse 2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Also describing our responsibility. That we do what we do, and we do not do it to be seen of men. We don't do it to receive the praise of men. We do it as servants of the Most High God. We're bond slaves who are committed to Jesus Christ. So whatever He calls us to do, whatever ministry that He gives to us, we do it with joy and with gratefulness that the Lord gives us opportunity and He's counted us worthy to be a part of the work of the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. What is a steward? A steward is not someone who owns property. He's someone who takes care of the property of someone else. He's a manager or someone that directs the affairs, an overseer of someone else. We're all made stewards of the grace of God. We are all made stewards of the things of God. And we're a spectacle. We're being observed and watched. And it's important that we be faithful servants. Amen. Now, again, you're thinking, okay, that sounds okay, but what's that got to do with Matthias and Acts chapter 1? Well, let's look at it. They are choosing someone to replace Judas, an empty slot among the 12, an apostolic position, very important place, and it's to be chosen. This person is to be chosen. And there is a choice between Justice and Matthias, and apparently both of them are well qualified, but it fell on Matthias. So apparently that God's direction was that Matthias be the one who step into that role. Amen. And so that's exactly what happens. They voted, it fell on him, and he was numbered with the 11, it says. So this, he becomes the successor for Judas. But this back up just a little bit. Back to verse 21. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken from us. Wow, and that gives us some history on Matthias. Where was he during the whole entire ministry of Jesus? From the time he witnessed Jesus' baptism. He witnessed his baptism. He was with him everywhere that he went, through his ins and his outs, it says.
He was with Jesus everywhere he went, all the way until the resurrection, until the ascension, until he ascended. Matthias was there. He is this silent witness, this faithful person that's just there all the time. What was it that qualified Matthias? Does it say anything about his gifts? Does it say anything about any other qualification that he had? It just says he was there with Jesus from the beginning to the end. He was there. And so his apostolic ministry, he witnessed the resurrection, but he also witnessed everything else that happened all along the way. He was with Jesus. He was faithful to him. He was a servant of the Lord. He was always there. Amen. Praise God for folks that just show up. Amen. They're always there. Always there. They can always be counted on. That are just faithful to God. Faithful to the work of God. Faithful to serve in the role and the place that God has called them to be in. Now, what are some of the rewards of being a faithful person? And with that, I just want to say, I want to challenge you all. I want to challenge you all that during the month of September, to be faithful. To be faithful to the house of God, to all the services, to be faithful to prayer, to be faithful, to be used of the Lord, to witness, to invite folks to church. If you're making plans for September, just plan on being here all the time. Amen. My, it's quiet. Be faithful. Just plan on being here. If you're planning some big excursion or some big trip, wait till October. And wait, and let's just make September faithful month. Let me talk a little bit about what it means to be faithful and some of the great benefits of being faithful. Faithfulness gives you a personal eyewitness account to the glory of God, the power of God, the miracles of God, the supernatural acts of God. Amen. That's what Matthias had. Amen. All that, I believe he saw the miracles. He heard the teaching. He was always there. I mean, if someone would have said, I don't know, I've heard that he turned all that those fish and bread and multiplied that and fed that big crowd. I don't know if I really believe that or not. And Matthias would say, I was there. I saw it. I witnessed it. I saw that miracle. Someone else could have said, I'm not really sure if I believe that Jesus really turned that water into wine at that wedding of Cana. I'm not sure I believe that. Then back in the crowd is this little guy raising up his hand. His name is Matthias, and he's saying, oh yeah, he did it. I was there. I saw it. I witnessed it with my own eyes. Let me tell you what happens when you're faithful to God. When you're faithful to God, you witness the wonderful acts of God. You witness the supernatural hand of God. Amen. You know that many times, I understand sometimes, like Wednesday night services, it's a smaller group of people that are here and gathering here. But I want you to know it's worthwhile to put forth your best effort to get here, because sometimes on Wednesday night, we hear the testimonies of answered prayer. We hear testimonies of the miracles of God, the hand of God working and moving. And I want you to know that if you're faithful, you won't miss out on a lot of things that God has as you're faithful to the Lord. Amen. Faithfulness means that you are there even through the ins and the outs. That's what it says about this man, Matthias. It says, wherefore all these men which have accompanied with us all the time, always there, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, everywhere he was. I mean, they were always with him. They were always listening to him, always observing what he was doing when he was in and was out. Do you know that faithfulness will help you through the high times and the low times? A commitment of faithfulness will keep you when things aren't so good and when things are good. If you'll just be faithful to the Lord, then God will strengthen you and give you the strength of character, and he'll bring you through even difficult times. Amen. You say, well, everything went good during the life of Christ. No, it didn't. It did not. Jesus was persecuted. Jesus was falsely accused. At first, there were great crowds of people. There were so many people that he would have to get out into a boat to have a little room to speak to the multitude. Much of the time, they were thronging him and pressing him in the crowds. But then, toward the end, in the latter weeks of his ministry, the crowd was thinning out quite a bit. It's getting smaller. Not as many people were there. Even to the point that Jesus said to those closest disciples to him, "Are you going to go away too?" He was being forsaken by people and rejected. His message was being rejected, even to the point finally that he was falsely accused in court. He was scourged and beaten and abused and crucified. Jesus had times ins and outs. But the faithful are there no matter what. They're faithful no matter what. Things are going great. Things are going big and wonderful. And God is working and moving. And sometimes there are desert times and times when it doesn't seem like you're experiencing the presence of God. You don't feel God. You don't feel like that God could be in the middle of it. But He is. Just stay faithful to the Lord through the ins and the outs. Amen. I'm going to need a few more amens this morning. I'm getting nervous. Amen. Praise the Lord. He was faithful. The faithful man is a personal eyewitness to the glory of God. The faithful man will stay true to the Lord even in the ins and outs, the ups and downs, when the crowds are big and when they're low, when things are, you know, are going great and when things are struggling, the faithful man stays steady, true, committed, no matter what. Amen. He stays in that place. The faithful man will have a broader and a deeper testimony to the power of God. They'll witness it. I've already said that Matthias witnessed all those wonderful miracles. Many that did not, but he was. What set him up for an apostolic ministry, he was there all the way to the end, even to the crucifixion, and he witnessed him being buried, and then he witnessed him, he saw him, he experienced Jesus Christ. He was one of the disciples that saw him, that may have touched him, that may have handled him, as it says. Matthias was right there, one of those disciples who witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that set him up for an apostolic ministry to be one. And actually, it was pretty well. The number thinned down to only two. Matthias was the one chosen by the Lord to be this person because he was faithful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Luke 16 and 10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least, also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." Just stay at it. Whatever task you've been given, whatever calling you've been given, it may seem insignificant and without real importance, but stay at it. I know we read about guys like Charles Spurgeon and think, my goodness, he preached to thousands of people. He wrote, his sermons were printed, and they went all over the world, thousands and thousands of copies of his messages, both in England and the United States and other nations of the world. He was one of the most, if not the most, influential preachers in his time. And you just think, wow, what a mighty ministry that this guy had. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have? He didn't start off that way. He got saved. He was a young teenage boy, young boy. And his first ministry was a little Sunday school class, small little group of people. And through the years, he served in smaller capacities, smaller ministries. And he was faithful in those places and even pastoring in congregations, you know, much, much smaller congregations. But he was just faithful to the task, faithful to the ministry. And eventually, God promoted him and gave him a ministry that he touched the lives of thousands of people. Why? Well, I think it was primarily because he was a faithful man. He was faithful to his calling and to his ministry. If you're faithful in that which is least, then God has a way of giving you greater opportunity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Greater opportunity. Faithfulness will guarantee your privilege and your blessing in your life and in the life to come. Amen. Proverbs 28, verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Praise the Lord. Just be faithful. God is watching. The world is watching. And God has called us to be faithful people. Faithful to prayer. Faithful to God's word. Faithful in service. Faithful in our witness. Faithful in our commitment to the things of God, to the work of God. And God blesses faithfulness. This is an illustration of it in the life of Matthias, who we know very little about him, but all we do know is that everywhere Jesus went, from the time he was baptized by John all the way until Jesus ascended, Matthias was right there. He was at Jesus' beck and call. He was serving every time that there was some need. He was there. He was available. He was willing. And it was his faithfulness. I believe that probably the most surprised man at who became the next apostle was probably Matthias. Me? Who, me? All I've been doing is just doing what I can. I've just been with Jesus from the beginning until he ascended. I've been right there with him, but I've just been serving in whatever capacity that I can, doing whatever I can. I believe he was probably surprised. This is my opinion. It doesn't say that in the scripture, but he was chosen by God to step in to this role of apostolic ministry. Praise the Lord. He was counted faithful among those. You know, one of these days, we're going to stand before God. Every one of us here are going to go to that beam of judgment, aren't we? We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to get given account of the deeds and of our life. What we've done with our money and our time, what we've done with everything, all the things we committed ourselves and that we were committed to and faithful to. Amen. Glory to God. It's an awesome thing to consider that you and me will stand before God. I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's the words we want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That great privilege. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Was he taught? What's that describing? Do you understand that your faithfulness in this life will have everything to do with your place in eternity? Amen. You're not just going to have a cloud with your name on to float around on. Forget it. That's not what heaven's going to be all about. Heaven is going to be just a whole lot more of what's going on here on earth without the sin and multiplied by, thousands, maybe millions of wonderful things. You know, if you just think about the nature of God, what God is so many things. He's a creator, and it's his creative mind that has brought about everything that is. When you think about that, what about heaven? Is heaven just going to be one eternal worship service? No, I don't believe it will be. I think that the plan of God is going to be unveiled to us when we are no longer restrained by the fleshly limitations. And that heaven is going to be something glorious and wonderful, far more than we can even comprehend. Amen. Yeah, we will be glorifying his name throughout eternity, but we'll also be put in positions and have responsibilities. And if you're faithful in this world, in this life, in this earthly ministry, then that's going to determine where you are in your eternal ministry. There are a lot of people with big names in ministry in this world that they're probably going to be sweeping the floors in the world to come, if there is any sweeping going on. When God does the evaluation, it's probably going to be that little person that you don't even know their name, like Matthias. Don't know much about them. All you know is they were faithful. They were faithful to pray. They were faithful to serve. They were faithful to give. They were faithful throughout the... And because of their faithfulness, God is going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." Praise God. Glory be to God. It's a little bit more than we can conceive of and imagine, but heaven is going to be much more glorious and amazing than any of us
can even ever imagine. Praise God. So Matthias earned this position in apostleship. Let me read you some verses from Revelation 21. And I know I'm out of time. Revelation 21 and 10. This was the vision that John had of that city of Jerusalem, that holy city. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and a high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates in it, the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. Verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Praise God. What did Matthias do? He was just there. He was just there faithful. Amen. The first step in being faithful is just being there. Amen. Just showing up. Just being there. Matthias was there. He witnessed it all. He was faithful to serve the Lord. We don't know anything about what he did specifically throughout those years of the earthly ministry of Jesus. All we know is that he saw it all. And he heard it all. From the beginning to his ascension, he saw it all that qualified him for this wonderful apostolic ministry. And I don't know if those foundations are built yet in heaven. I don't know if they're built yet or not, but if they're not, then they're going to be before we enter into that glorious place. If they have been, then in the name of one of those foundation stones is the name Matthias. He's right there with Peter, and he's right there with the other apostles. Matthias. He's got his own foundation. He's got his own stone. His name is inscribed there because it is a testimony of the power and the great reward of a faithful man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We were pastoring in Oklahoma. We were in a rented Methodist church. We started as a church plant, and for about almost 2 years, we were in this building that we rented. We had service in the afternoon on Sunday, and then our midweek was on Thursday night because we had to dodge the Methodist folks. So for close to 2 years, and during that time, we were looking for property. We purchased property. We built a building. And then started having services there just close to 2 years after we had started the churches. The Lord was just helping in such an amazing way. This is a long time ago, back in 1982. The very first day, the very first Sunday in the new building, there was a couple, a middle-aged couple, that came to church that day. That couple, I didn't know them, never had seen them, never met them before. But they had been driving to another part of the city. We are on the west side. They had been driving to another part of town. And they said, we just thought we would drop in here since it was so much closer to our house and see what your church was like. They never left. This week I got an announcement of the birthday of the lady who is turning 90 years old. And all these years she served in the church. For many of the years that we were there and years after, they were the greeters. Brother and Sister Brother and Sister Seymour stood at the front door, smiled, greeted people, handed out bulletins, faithful to their task, faithful to their job. Most of what they did was behind the scenes. Most of what they did, God used them in some amazing ways. Brother Bill came to me one day and he said, you know, I worked all my life in the Pipe Fitters Union. And my union is selling, or they're actually filing lawsuits against these different shops that I've worked in because of asbestos. He said, I'm not filing the suit. The union's doing it, but they tell me I'm going to start getting some checks. And he said, when I do, get them.
I like to give most of it to the church. We were in a project trying to get this building built, and always needing money. The checks started coming. It was at least three times, maybe four times during the course of, and he just would very quietly, no one else would know about it, quietly walk up to me and slip me something, a little check in my hand. And it wasn't $100, it's thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars. I'm telling you, God uses little people that you think are insignificant that are just faithful servants, willing to do whatever God asks them to do. And I praise God that I've been able to witness that over the years in the house of God. Faithful, faithful people. And there are wonderful rewards for those who are willing to make a commitment to faithfulness. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, you care about your people. You care about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, that our lives, that they really have significance whenever we're filling up our life and our time for the kingdom of God. We can live out the days of our life doing a lot of things that satisfy our interest and the things that we want to do, our own life. But Lord, help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Help us, Lord, to spend our days being faithful to you, committed to you, be willing to do your will, being willing to serve in the kingdom of God, to do whatever you're asking us to do whatever you've called us to do, to be willing to do it, Lord, to serve and to realize, Lord, that you will bless faithfulness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you do care about your people and you see every act, every behind the scenes act. You see all the under rowers, Lord, who aren't seen, but yet they're so important to the successful moving forward of the kingdom of God. You see those, Lord, who spend their quiet times in prayer and nobody knows, but Lord, you're using them as an intercessor. For those who serve and work, Lord, behind the scenes and no one knows, but they're just serving you, doing it, Lord, because they love you and they've committed themselves to you. Lord, bless the faithful. And Lord, for the rest of us, Lord, help us to commit ourselves to you, to your house, to the work of the kingdom of God, and to remain true and faithful because we know that rewards will come. Rewards will come if we just remain faithful to you. Hallelujah.